So today we get the chance to continue on in our Advent series that was kicked off by Laurel last week. And as always, Laurel did an awesome job. And, you know, I think it was her and Jaron kind of particularly, am I right, Jaron, that came up with this theme of making space for all these different things of the Advent season. And this last week, Laurel was talking about making space for, wait, what was it? There you go. Hope. I hoped you'd get that. Okay. Good job. So this week, we're talking about making space for peace. And now, I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about making space for peace, the next thing you know, I turn on the TV or I listen to the radio or something, and I'm just bombarded with bad news and difficult news and news of brokenness. And then it doesn't make me feel very peaceful. I want to give you what to me is an absolutely devastating story and a prime example of what fractures peace. Like, I heard this story about this guy, and I just can't get it out of my head. You know, the more you listen to the news, the deeper you get into this stuff. And it's such a sad story, and it keeps going round and round and round in my heart. I just can't let this thing go. You might have heard this story, too. I think it was breaking news. I'm going to show you the article here. And this is what the article says. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put Humpty together again. That's a sad story. Have you ever thought about how sad that story is? There are so many hurting people in the world. Is it true that they'll never be put back together? That's got to be the worst children's story of all time. I'm just going to say it, okay? I'll never teach a child of mine the dumb story of Humpty Dumpty, okay? Because I was out for coffee with a guy the other day, and he was telling me, he said, you know what? I will never, ever, truly, truly believe that God delights in me. And I thought, man, this is a Humpty Dumpty story. People say to me, listen, I got this broken relationship with so-and-so, you know, my parents, the person at work, my friend, but that's as good as it's going to get. It's a Humpty Dumpty story. People say to me, you know what? The best way to protect yourself, just don't trust anybody. Don't believe in anybody. Don't put your heart out there. Protect yourself at all costs. That's what you got to do in this world. You see, there's a Humpty Dumpty story being sung all over the world today. This self-protection song, a protect your eggshell at all costs before it gets damaged kind of song. And what I want to ask you today is, what kind of song is your life singing? Today we're talking about making space for peace. And some people think of peace as an inner attitude, like me being happy and content. You know, or me, for young people, you might say, I'm chill. I'm a chill dude. I'm chill, right? I'm chill. I'm undisturbed. And that's what peace is really about. You know, you just self-protect and insulate yourselves from relationships. Boom, you got peace. Heck, I'll take you one better on this. Pretty soon, pot's going to be legalized. And you can just sit in your room and listen to Bob Marley and smoke pot. Okay? I have a roommate who does this. He says he's at peace. Is that what peace is? Biblical peace is of a completely different sort. See, peace isn't something that you can keep to yourself in the biblical world. It isn't self-protection, because the biblical word for peace is shalom. And shalom is for others. It's being for the world. It's the Jewish greeting, shalom. It's also the Jewish goodbye, shalom again. It's beautiful. Have you ever known the meaning of this word? This is such a beautiful word. It makes sense to say it is your hello. It makes sense to say it is your goodbye because it means wholeness. It means every single thing in your life made right. It means every piece of your heart that's possibly been broken by relationships and hurt and strife. It means taking all those little bits and putting them back together. That's shalom. You wish that on somebody. There's nothing better you can wish for them. This is not a Humpty Dumpty story. It's for the hurt and it's for the broken. But you got to ask yourself, is that just wishful thinking? Would you rather believe Humpty Dumpty or shalom? Well, what I want to tell you is that peace is not an inner attitude. It's who God wants to make you into. So let me read you the text for today. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. And if you have really good eyesight, you'll even be able to see it. I'm going to read it out loud here. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the very children of God." In Matthew chapter 5, which you can see here, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. The shalomers. The shalom creators, the makers of shalom in the world, the people who bring wholeness, the people who start to make things right, the people who come tenderly and take broken bits of hearts and slowly and patiently begin to put those kinds of things back together. Blessed are those people. Let me pause for a sec to take a breather. Did you guys know what Christmas is about? I just learned this the other day. Okay? You know, I started to listen to the Christmas songs and read the Bible and everything, and it just kind of dawned on me, I swear, in a new way, kind of like Andrew, where he can't help but cry at the Christmas songs. That's a beautiful thing. That's a man who gets it, okay? The truth of the Christmas story and the truth of the world then is that Jesus is born King of the world. You hear it in that song, right? Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. A Lord in the ancient world is the emperor, okay? Born king. He was born king. You ever wonder why Herod tried to kill him when he was born? I'm a little jealous. No one tried to kill me when I was born. I was just born. Things went on, okay? People don't try and kill you when you're born unless you're a threat. Why is he a threat? Because he was born King. Merry Christmas. Jesus is king. He was born king. And if you listen to the Christmas carols, you'll know that it says here, and his gospel is peace. Merry Christmas. The king of the world's agenda is peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Humpty Dumpty's getting a new ending. You hear it? He's going to bring peace. He was born for it. You know, how do I know this? Now, just before this, I'm not going to read it to you. Jesus says this thing, okay? He comes along. This is the beginning of Matthew, and he says to everybody, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And you're thinking, what on earth does that mean? What comes with a king? A kingdom. Okay? And that's why he's saying, look, the king's here. The kingdom's come near. It's come to you. Here it is. This is what it's all about. And he begins to announce his gospel. We're doing Philippians right now with the young adults, and I keep telling them, you got to know what a gospel is. In the ancient world, you announce a gospel when a king rises to the throne. This is the good news of what this king's going to bring. And he starts telling us, this is the shape of my kingdom. I'm going to tell you what it is. Repent, everybody. Totally change your lives. Switch what kingdom you're going for. Don't go for Caesar. Go for me. I'm going to tell you the shape of the kingdom. The true kingdom of heaven is breaking in. And it's breaking in the lives of his disciples. And he says it's going to mean being poor in spirit. You can keep that text up there. It's going to mean being poor in spirit. It's going to mean being a mourner. It's going to mean being meek. It's going to mean being a hunger and thirster for right relatedness. It's going to be overflowing with mercy, having a pure heart, and being a peacemaker. These are steps. They go together, okay? If sometimes you think, I don't even know what Ryan's saying. He's so not linear. I can't understand him. Well, today you're in for a treat because this is super linear. Okay, so you can just thank God right now. So this is what I'm telling you is that these aren't just a bunch of random things. What I'm telling you is that Jesus says these are the steps of discipleship, with the Z of discipleship being a peacemaker. That's what he says. That's the ultimate peacemaker. So let me explain here. Let's begin at poor in spirit. And as I'm talking about these things, you may want to ask yourself, where am I in this discipleship program? Poor in spirit. Now, is that where you would begin your discipleship program? Right? Your learning program? Okay, we got any spiritual losers here? I'll take 10 of them. You know, I would think, well, I'll take the best. Right? I'll probably take a duff on my team for sure. You know, we need ace people, okay? But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And what he means by this is there's a whole bunch of teachings going around at the time. You got a lot of Pharisaical teachings, right? Where they want the A-plus students. They want the people who can get the good grades, the people who can keep up. And Jesus said, blessed are those who know they can't possibly play that game. They cannot keep up. Blessed are those people who give up the religious game. The people who know I'll never be able to earn God's favor. You see, to me, that is the beginning of living in the kingdom of God. You can strive and strive and strive and run the hamster wheel of proving yourself to God, but you'll never begin the journey. Jesus says, give it up. Happy are you if you've given it up. Because then you'll say, Jesus, I'm a spiritual beggar. I need your help. Come and help me, God. I can't do this on my own. The only other option is to keep playing the comparison game, the do it on your own game, and running the hamster wheel for the rest of your life. The God, you'll love me if I do this and more of this. And what we're trying to get across to you is he loves you, period. This is the beginning of the good news of the kingdom of God, and it is the only possible place to start. Blessed are you if you're poor in spirit. The second step is to become a good mourner. Do you have huge skills at mourning in your life? It's not a skill that we practice very much. But does God want to make you a good mourner? I say, yeah. It's right up there on the list. God wants to make you a good mourner. Because here's the cold facts. When Jesus comes and he announces the kingdom, he says, the world's going to change. I'm bringing a new kingdom, not like the old, so you need to repent, completely change, go in this different direction. But here's the thing. How are you going to accept what Jesus has to offer if you say, you know what, I think the world's completely fine. I don't want a different world. I don't want a different kingdom. I got a lot riding on this one. But if you think there's something wrong, you will mourn. Because mourning is saying, this world is not right. It's to experience in your heart the pain of the world. It's to say what any of us who have lived at any time will say, and that is, I have pieces in me that are shattered too. I'm not aloof to the wrong in this world. And if you mourn well, you'll say, it's not everyone else's fault. I'm not going to blame everybody else. But there's brokenness in me too. And I'm part of the problem with the world. And that breaks my heart. And there's a bit of Humpty Dumpty in me too. You see, we need to understand this, not just keep it all together. You know, there's this thing going around, you may have heard of it, it's called being vulnerable or vulnerability. And there's a lot of writers on this kind of thing. And vulnerability is basically just showing some of your hurt and your flaws. I looked up the Greek word here for mourning. So I thought, what could this possibly mean? This is what it means. It means to be so overcome with grief that it cannot be hidden. So Jesus says, blessed are you if your hurt and your brokenness actually gets to the outside. And people can see it because it drives you to want to do something about the way the world is. That's what good mourning does. Because when you see brokenness, you can do two things. You can mourn well, or you can rage. Those are your options. Jesus says, mourn well. And you'll know that you've done this when you become meek. Okay? What meek means, straightforwardly, it just means to be gentle. Okay, if you're raging at the world, are you going to be gentle with it? You'll never get there. To mourn well makes you gentle, not a harsh attacker of the world. Isn't that what's wrong with the world already? People want world change. We all want world change. People want different kinds of world change. But it's me, and I'm going to force it. Jesus says, no. If you want the world to change, if you want a new kingdom, I got to make you gentle enough to be part of what I'm going to establish. You guys might have heard me talk about this verse. It's called John 3:16. I've brought it up many times, okay? I'm going to keep bringing it up until it's part of our DNA. And John 3:16 is this: for God so loves the world. He loves the world. He absolutely treasures the world and the people in it. And let me tell you, or let me ask you, do you want someone coming in and roughing up and changing your family? And saying, I'm just going to treat your kids however I want. You know what? Your kids are out of line. I'm going to change the way you do things around here. Or I'm going to take your beautiful sports car and I'm just going to treat it however I want to treat it. You don't do that. Okay? You treat someone's family gently. You treat someone's most treasured possessions gently. That's how you begin to work change. And when you've given up the religious game, when you understand that there's brokenness in me and brokenness in the world, and you're gently looking to change things, you begin to birth in yourself this wild hunger for things to be different in your relationships. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, righteousness means right relatedness. Okay, not following a bunch of rules. It means right relatedness. Flourishing relationships. And if you want the world to be different, you begin to crave that. It's the very thing that fills you up. It's the thing that, it's the snack that you want to have, right? You're going to watch a hockey game. Like, dang, we need a snack. Let's go invite some people over. Let's have this beautiful, right relationship time where people can share all these awesome things that I have. I am so hungry for it. Now, I've been around some pregnant people lately. okay, particularly women. Now, let me tell you, okay, I got to tread lightly here. Someone warned me about that. It's okay. The one thing I know is that pregnant women are people who hunger and thirst. Okay? That's what they do. It's like every half an hour, right? Okay, we need to get out and get them. Some people, you know, you understand this, okay? So it's crazy. It's this huge hunger. It's you hungering for relationships like a pregnant woman. Now, I'm currently on a diet. You may have noticed, okay? Thank you. Now, the worst thing about diets, though, is you're in relationships and you got to say no all the time. It's like, hey, I just made 50 cookies. Do you want one? Oh, no, thanks. Right? And then people go away sad like the rich young ruler. Okay? It sucks. It breaks down relationships. And the thing about you can't be a relationship dieter and follow the kingdom of God. Broken relationships are at the heart of what's wrong with the world. We got to be relational maniacs, hungering for it every half an hour. Man, I got to go and text somebody else and tell them how awesome they are. I just crave this thing. I want people to know. I want to invite them over. Which reminds me, if you're between the ages of 18 to 35, okay, hear me out on this. You're invited to our place for a Christmas party tonight. This is at 6:30. Now, the good news is if you get there on time, I'll actually be there because then I got to go and preach right after that. So it's not my fault if I don't say hi to you, okay? But I really want to invite you to this. We're hungering and thirsting for relationships. If you're between the ages of 18 to 35, I don't care how long you've been here for or how new you are, we want to have you to our place. Let's see if we can make it so packed in there that we have to just shut the party down, okay? That would be awesome. It's about being relational maniacs. You can come talk to me afterwards and we'll give you the details, okay? But we need to be for relationships. It has to be the hunger in our bellies. Here's a great quote for you on relationships. It's my favorite quote right now. The difference between walking away and walking towards is character. The difference between walking away and walking towards is character. It takes character to work out relationships. And in the walking away or walking towards, your character is revealed. Now, what kind of character will you need when people hurt you? When they do wrong to you? At that point in relationships, you're saying, I want to end this thing. Because justifiably, they did wrong to you. Hey, these people actually hurt you. It's not just something that you're making up in your mind, but these people are literally doing wrong. You know, you want to unfriend them from Facebook, or you want to do whatever you want to say, you know, I don't want to be around people like you, you're not positive enough, or just straight up, you're terrible to me. Okay, and there, you know, I understand there's some situations where this doesn't take effect, but the kind of character you're going to need to walk towards is exactly what Jesus says. What are you going to need? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are people that are absolutely full of mercy, who say, you know what, you're wrong, but I'm not going to judge you here. Because I am filled with the heart of the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to take that hurt and I'm going to turn it into mercy. Rather than cut you out, I'm going to bring you in. Merciful. Merciful. You'll be merciful when you've been mourning the fact that you're part of the problem. And what do you need to be merciful? You need to be pure in heart. You see, a pure in heart person is a person that is not filled with bitterness, envy, hate, judgment, all these things. Because pure in heart literally means an unmixed heart without undesirable elements. So you don't have a bunch of other stuff in there. You see, if you're cramming your heart full of bitterness, not a lot of other stuff's going to fit in there. Okay? And what Laurel's been talking about is making space. Part of what she's talking about there is taking the time. It's taking the time to honestly ask yourself, maybe you don't have many relationships. Then you say, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault. But when you take the time to look at your heart, you think, there's a lot of bitterness in there. There's a lot of pride in there. And you go back to being a poor in spirit person, a mourner, and you work your way back up. Are we going to take the time to purify our hearts, to get out all of these things that clog them up? Because when we do, we gain a heart that God can use in every way. And what's the end result? What is the kind of thing that God wants to produce in the end? It's exactly the point. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Bitterness will never make peace. This is the Zed of Jesus' discipleship program. This is where the kingdom of God is made to go. This is where the king wants to take us. To be shalom makers. To be the put things back together people. To make space for peace first in us. Where we get rid of all this other stuff. And then we become for the world people. Are you at peace with God's desire and agenda to make peace in the world? You know, I don't know about you, but I like to be at peace. You know, I just kind of push people out, sit in my basement. Listen, I have really good speakers. It helps. Right? And just zen moments. Just be at peace. But do I want to make peace? I don't know about you, but I don't like tough conversations. Don't want to have them. But if we want to follow Christ in his kingdom way, we have to decide if we're going to turn around or are we going to follow him on his discipleship program? Or do I just want to protect my shell to keep it from cracks, to stay away from becoming Humpty Dumpty? I really think that we have to ask ourselves in this Advent season, do I really want to take the journey that Jesus is leading us on one step at a time? Because the road to being a peacemaker is a daunting task. But we as God's people need to understand this is the road he is taking us on. This is the journey. There's no other option. We can follow him or turn back, but we don't get to decide the journey. He says, if you want to be part of my kingdom, the journey is to become a peacemaker. We have to be committed. You see, there's Humpty Dumpties all over this world. There's a story going round and round that things can't change and your relationships cannot be put back together. But God has a plan to make peace, to create shalom. And his plan is to team with you. And of course, it would mean some wild steps. It means becoming a spiritual failure and giving up trying to be above other people because there's no spiritual elites allowed. It'll mean learning to mourn well. No stiff upper lips allowed. It'll mean being gentle. No hostile takeovers allowed. It'll mean craving good relationships more than a pregnant woman craves whatever on earth she's craving at that particular moment. You cannot be a relationship dieter and follow the kingdom program. It means becoming mercy-filled, not giving others what they deserve. It means gaining a pure heart and no longer hoarding junk in your heart. It means becoming a peace creator, a person who goes to war for peace every day. No conscientious objectors allowed. This is the journey. Shalom, a new end to a shattered world. All of this enlivened, made possible by the very spirit of the living God of Shalom, making peace in and through us. You want to be part of that journey? Because blessed are the peacemakers. They're going to be called the very children of God. Amen. I just want to pray for all of us here. God, I have to admit, I'm tempted to live a Humpty Dumpty life. I got a pretty fragile shell. I don't want anyone cracking that thing. But, God, I also know that with the brokenness that I experienced growing up, that I never, ever want to see that happen to anyone else. And so, God, I pray that You will cause each of us to tap into Your strength, that we will not sit down as a Humpty Dumpty and say, I've had this great fall, I'll never get up again. But God, that You would light a fire in our bellies, a fire to recreate and make whole the relationships of our world, that we would be the children of the God of Shalom. Help us, God. Give us a heart to set things right. And most of all, God, give us the belief that it can be done. Thank You. Thank You that this is the journey. It's beautiful. In Your name, amen.